and you are listening to the Texas Standard. Our biggest foreign investor may be breaking ties with Europe, but they appear to be interested in strengthening them with Texas. Some may find it somewhat conspicuous, perhaps, that the first post-Brexit overseas trip for the UK's Minister of International Trade brings him not first to California or New York, but to the Lone Star State. And his objective? Well, I'm thinking he's here for more than just the barbecue. He's sure to set the record straight with us as he joins us now. Connor Burns, MP from Bournemouth West, is the UK's Minister of State for International Trade. Minister Burns, welcome to Texas.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here.
UK-Texas trade, $14 billion, according to the most recent numbers I saw. I think that was 2018. What can we sell you now? What is it that you're here to explore?
Well, look, if Texas were a country in her own right, she would have the 10th largest economy in the world. And you said in your introduction that I hadn't started my first overseas visit after we've left the European Union in places like California, where you might traditionally expect the United Kingdom to have looked to. We see enormous opportunities in doing business here in Texas, and that's why I wanted to come to Texas in, and I stress this is the first overseas visit that I've done since the United Kingdom left the European Union. So all of the places around the world that I could have chosen to go, and I have come to Texas. I want the people and the government of Texas to see that as a declaration of intent of how important Her Majesty's government sees the potential to grow the economic relationship with Texas. Look, this state has one of the fastest growing economies within the Union. We have so many things that we have in common, shared interests, shared values, and sectors where we can do so much more to cooperate and trade together.
Is your visit to the States a bit about sending a message as much to us as to the EU, maybe using us a bit as leverage in negotiations with Europe?
Well, look, it's sending a message not to just to the EU or to the United States or indeed even to Texas. It's sending a message to the world that last Friday evening at 11 p.m. UK time, the United Kingdom became an independent, self-governing country again. And as the Prime Minister made very clear when he spoke on Monday, we are going to trade with the whole world. Now, of course, look, the European Union is going to be an incredibly important trading partner for the United Kingdom going forward. It's our closest neighbour geographically. We have great ties of history there. It's our single largest marketplace when you take all the individual countries that make up the EU into a single EU entity. Mm-hmm. But the Prime Minister also made very clear that we intend to negotiate a free trade agreement with the EU, but simultaneously we're looking at negotiating free trade agreements with the United States, with Australia, with New Zealand, with Japan, and ultimately we're looking at joining the CPTPP. But what I'm trying to say here in Texas, with your enormous economy, with the range of things that we already do together and could do more of in energy, in defense, in aerospace, in tech, we can do so much more at a state level as well as a federal level. So my visit here is to say, come on, let's talk, guys. Let's see what more we can do.
President Trump said something offhand the other day. He was boasting about his approach to China as having paid off despite a lot of naysayers. And he threw in there, Europe, you're next. I don't think a lot of reporters picked up on it, but I'm wondering, from your perspective, have you noticed anything that might lead you to believe that the U.S. and Europe are on a collision course?
Well, look, President Trump has a unique approach to the deployment of tariffs as an instrument of foreign policy. And what we say, and look, we are the United States' oldest and strongest ally, closest friend. We value the bilateral relationship. We call it the special relationship. We value that enormously. But that doesn't mean we don't point out sometimes that we think that approaches could be done differently. So, for example, the tariffs that we're now experiencing in this sort of retaliatory argument between the EU and the United States, we take a very simple position. Tariffs are not good for economies. They're not good for consumers. We've been damaged a lot in the United Kingdom with the Scots whisky industry. So very quietly, very gently, we are saying through diplomatic channels with the discussion between the Prime Minister and the President, my Secretary of State and Secretary Lighthizer, myself talking to ambassadors and others, let's just dial this down. Let's talk very sensibly and rationally about how we eliminate tariffs to the benefit of our consumers. And let's have a conversation around getting a comprehensive free trade agreement so we can then operate in a rules-based environment where each knows the other's obligations and each has freely entered into them. That's the way that you avoid trade wars by having trade agreements.
What I find, though, fascinating is that we seem to be moving away from that post-war global consensus that was sort of multilateral in nature, and we're looking towards something far more bilateral. I mean, I think about we have sort of a trilateral agreement here in the United States. We used to call it NAFTA. Now it's the USMCA, our Continental Trade Agreement. Is there any advantage to thinking about, I mean, you sort of seem to be hinting at this, some kind of similar partnership with the UK, maybe I guess BAFTA is taken, but something along those lines?
Well, our aspiration is very much to have a comprehensive bilateral free trade agreement. But by the way, the United Kingdom is a great advocate for the international rules-based order. One of the first things we did on the first working day after we had left the European Union, and by the way, you were right to point to the transition period, that there is another 11 months while we're still governed by the rules of the European Union, but that does not preclude us. That's specifically set out in the withdrawal agreement, starting discussions with partners about free trade agreements, agreeing them and ratifying them. The only thing we can't do before the 31st of December is actually implement them. But the first thing we did on Monday, having left the EU, was to step aside from the European Union grouping in the World Trade Organization and retake our own independent seat in the WTO. We want to see the World Trade Organization have its appellant body reappointed so that it can actually adjudicate in disputes, and then it's up to nations to negotiate how they resolve those disputes. But the bilateral trade agreement is something that we want, as well as the multilateral rules-based WTO-based governance system for world trade.
You mentioned that you're here and you want to talk tech and space technology and defense and energy alternatives. I know are you going to be able to squeeze in a stop at the Fort Worth Rodeo or not so much?
I certainly am. There is one iron rule on all these visits. It's business, business, business. But if you can't get some pleasure while you're here, how on earth could a British minister come to Texas and not see a rodeo? I mean, that would be a crime.
maybe you can grab a Whataburger or a breakfast taco or three as well. Connor Burns is a member of Parliament. He's the UK's Minister of State for International Trade. And his first stop on his post-Brexit tour is Texas. Minister Burns, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard.
Delighted to. Thank you very much.